Tonight our 10-minute speaker is Maria from El Cajon.
Good evening. My name is Maria, a.k.a. Drama Queen. So in 10 minutes, I don't know what I'm going to do for you, okay? Because I'm a soap opera, and you must observe the soap opera. So 10 minutes is really not enough. Number two, I'm very shy. And I've never spoken before. I'm not a speaker. Randy twisted my arm twice. So here I am. My story, in 10 minutes. I have to give you a little background so you understand. Why I did what I did. Number one, I came to this country at the age of 15. I didn't even know how to read. I went to Catholic school, became a Catholic, and became a holier-than-thou person. And I was ignorant. I had an abundance of ignorance about life and people and countries and everything. And so I was happy, though. And I was able. I earned my citizenship. I earned everything. I had a job. But I didn't have a husband, so I was all over LA dancing in the nightclubs and looking for a husband. But since, you know, I didn't do drugs, I didn't smoke, I didn't drink, and I didn't go to sleep with anybody, I couldn't find a husband because I couldn't have a no sex, bye. So it took me a long time. So one day, a cousin came to where I live with my brother, and my husband was with him. And, oh, my God, I said, oh, my God. And my husband goes, hey, did you call? So we fell in love, and that was 1965. In 1966, I was 25. We got married. He was just fresh out of the Mexican Marines and kind of baffling and powerful. Controlling, raging, he had everything about him, and it attracted me. I was doomed to fall in love with the worst, you know, controlling person. I was the perfect victim. And so it came to pass that we had two children, and the alcoholism in him started on day one. I couldn't spent too much time with him because I wasn't allowed, so I saw him on weekends. He was very thirsty every weekend. Very, very thirsty. And I just thought, wow, he's, you know. Well, when we got married, I knew why he was so thirsty. He drank every single weekend from Friday through Sunday. He wouldn't buy a six-pack. He would buy normally two or a case or the... And he would drink right before he showered and at dinner, and then he went on. And he was happy first. I didn't know what alcoholism was. So I began to get very depressed and very sick about this behavior. And one of my children had a medical problem that I needed to be near a hospital all the time, so I couldn't get away. Couldn't get a job because he needed attention. And in 10 years of marriage, I lost myself. All these abilities I had went out the door. So I became very depressed with so much unresolved emotional pain in the bottom of my gut. And no one to talk to because he had control of me. He talked about everyone because he wanted my brain just with him so that somebody would let me know what was going on. So anyway, to make a long story short, he one day said, you know, you're boring, you're no fun, have a drink, loosen up. I said, okay. Fireworks. 4th of July, because that gave me the courage to tell him what I thought. I shouldn't have, but I did. And that went on for years. Until one day, I was so depressed and so sick that I told him that if he didn't get help, I was going to leave. And I guess he had a moral hangover that day, and he agreed to go to Kaiser because I had insurance at the time. And he saw a counselor. Within a week, he came back and said, the counselor said, you're the sick one, so you go. He went to the horse races. He came drunk, happy as heck. So I did go to Kaiser, and the counselor showed me, and he showed me the merry-go-round of alcoholism. I had no clue. And he said, your husband is a very proud alcoholic. He's not going to quit until his liver gives up. It was so depressing to me. My kid was with me right there. He said, you're going to become an alcoholic. Your child is going to become an alcoholic if he doesn't kill you before that. That's exactly what he said to me right there. And at that moment, you know, I started crying. And he says, what do you want? And I said, I want some peace and quiet. I never had it. What are you going to do? And that's all he had to say. Even though I didn't have a job and I didn't have any money or anything, I made a decision to leave at that point. I didn't leave at that point because I needed another episode. So I waited till he got drunk. And at that drunk log, I was drinking by then, slowly. Every time he left, every time he picked up, I would steal from him just to feel better. I would steal. Whenever he went to the restroom, I'd drink half of his beer. So I had to stop that because then when he finished, he would send me to the store because he didn't want to drive drunk. So I had to stop that too. But the worst thing, what I didn't know was that my children were sick already. Because even when my child was in my womb, you know, that was the environment. This drunk alcoholic every single weekend. And so I decided to leave, and I did what I had to do. And so I went to a shelter for battered women with my two boys. And they called him, and he was very angry because he couldn't find me. But I waited till he did something bad. He was choking me. And so when I got there, I had his fingers on my throat. And the lady goes, gee, you are well-dressed, comb your hair, your children are clean, and you have that? And I go, well, that doesn't give me an excuse to not take a shower. So anyway, they called him, and they said, you can keep her. She's a sick one. And so I was homeless, I didn't have any money, and I had my two boys, so I came to TJ, I had a sister. She let us in, we sat there on the floor on the sofa for a while until I came to San Diego and found a job, eventually went to school, got the kids in school, and got an apartment where I was drinking every night to medicate. I didn't drink a lot, but I couldn't sleep without it, and it increased, and I still wanted a husband. So I was working at a clinic, and I met this guy who was a medical doctor, and he lived with me for about 7 years, and he was very respectful, and he helped, and he loved my kids, but I was drinking. And in 1990, my father died. My son was sent to the Gulf War, the other son, and my alcoholic son was deep into drugs and alcohol, and I was dying. I was dying morally, but I was working. And I would get up and put on my mask and go to work every single day. I never cry anymore, but right now I don't know what's happening. Anyway, I went to bury my dad. That was July. This boyfriend was supposed to marry me today, August 22nd, which is my belly button birthday and my AA birthday. When I got home, he had left, taken his stuff, and married somebody else and didn't tell me. So, I saw my son dying in alcoholism and drugs, my life on the floor. So I said, then I'm going to drink until I die. So I went in my room, and I couldn't pass out. And all of a sudden, I felt elevated right here, looking at my body in the bed, feeling sorry for me. And I said, God, take this away from me or just take me. Because I'm not going to kill myself because I have two boys and they don't deserve this. But I can't live like this. And so God reminded me, remember Kaiser Counselor 1977? Remember what he said to you? Everything had come to pass. There I was, alcoholic. There my son was, alcoholic. And so the next day I went to AA meeting against, and I don't have a horror story about DUIs and jail and losing the kid and losing the house. I didn't owe money to anybody, but I was dying all alone. I was so alone. And I went to a meeting and I couldn't walk in. I was so ashamed and embarrassed. And a lady walked out of the middle of the room. It was on Jackson and Lake Mary. And she grabbed me and pulled me in. And as I walked in, I felt like I wished the ground would open and just take me in so that I wouldn't be seen. I didn't want to be seen. So there was the beginning. At the next meeting, this lady, this is the recovery part, which is beautiful. This lady jumped and said, "Well, welcome. I am going to be your temporary sponsor. If you don't like me, you can fire me." And then she said, "You're going to do," and this is for the newcomers, "you're going to go to a women's meeting, a discussion meeting, a big book study, a step study, and you're going to go to meetings 90 days. Well, I went to meetings at least twice a day and hike Carl's Mountain almost every day because I couldn't live in my own skin. I stopped that night. Since that night, I haven't had a drink in 18 years today." That doesn't mean that I was well for a month. I was so sick. I went into that man that walked out on me. He did me a favor, but then I didn't know it. I went to the office at Kaiser. I walked right through the nurses, and I went to his office and destroyed it. And everything, charts and everything were on the floor. And he came in and grabbed me and shut the door and just held me so that I wouldn't scream. Anyway, he made amends, and he told me that he didn't think I loved him because I was too concerned with my son and his alcoholism and that I was drinking, and that he felt I didn't care. And this is really sick because I was really, that resentment lasted for like a year. And one day he says, "I know I did wrong." He came to the house, and he was an ex-officer from the Navy. He had a gun to him. He says, "If you really feel that bad about this, here's a gun, shoot me." And I looked at him and I said, "I'm sorry. My children don't deserve that I go to jail for you. Get out of here." So anyway, I'm almost done. I have to tell you about recovery. Sherry, I did everything she said, and I didn't argue with the program. I didn't question it. I only listened to what was good for me. When I said, I have to tell you this, when I said, "Oh, Sherry, I think I need a husband." "Oh, boy," she says, "I have the same problem. I think you and I should go to Sex Addicts Anonymous." We went to Sex Addicts Anonymous. We didn't belong there. And then I said, I eat too much, and I don't like this weight. Me too. Let's go to Overeaters Anonymous. We went over for a weekend, entire weekend at the mountains with Overeaters Anonymous. We didn't belong there. They were really sick. Well, they talk about food, and they, I go, "We're that sicker than us." So what I'm trying to say is I did everything possible to feel better. Because if this program had not given me the tools to get the life that I have today, I wouldn't have stayed. But I saw miracles, and if you're new, if I got it, you can get it, but you have to be willing, and you have to get a God, and you have to trust, and you have to be grateful, because this is the last thing I'm going to say. I am what I think about. My thoughts create my intention. My intention creates my actions. My actions have a consequence. There is no right and wrong. Actions and consequences. And today, I'm grateful to the entire universe because I have a life that I never dreamed. And I could have had it if my thinking didn't get me through all this horrible journey, because God never abandoned me. Thank you.